Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, August 25th, 2019. Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her message is Love Poetry. The New Testament reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, and the Old Testament lesson is from Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 8 through 17, and chapter 8, verses 6 and 7.
Our Old Testament lesson comes from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 17, and continuing with two verses from chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look. There he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my fair one, and come away. O, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the coverts of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch us, the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine and I am his. He pastures his flock among the lilies until the day breathes and the shadows flee. Turn, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on the cleft mountains. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, passion fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a raging flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If one offered for love all the wealth of one's house, it would be utterly scorned. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in a word of prayer. Holy God, you do give us this gift of Scripture, and we thank you for it. However, there are words from long ago and far away. So send your Holy Spirit, we ask, to help us glean and understand your message to us today. Use my words and the preparation for this time that your good news might be proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. You know those warnings at the beginning of movie trailers that say the following movie has been rated PG for, you know, violence or whatever? Or I listen to a lot of podcasts and radio, like the radio shows, and there's some disclaimer that shows up on This American Life that says something like, this episode contains mature themes and acknowledges the existence of sex. If you are listening with small children, you may want to use discretion. So, I need to give you that warning at the beginning of this sermon. No, it's not R-rated, but it does acknowledge the existence of sex. So, if that's something that you don't want the people next, you know, if you're not comfortable with or you don't want the young person sitting next to you to hear, this is your invitation to go raid coffee hour early, perhaps. The second comment I want to give to you is that I am preaching to myself today, and this is one of those sermons where you all can listen in, because I'm not as sure or solid or comfortable with where Scripture has invited me to go this week, and trying to figure out what this part of the Bible says to me today. I've been laughing because I'm like, why am I preaching out of Song of Solomon in the first place? And it's because we've done this summer series of wisdom literature. Remember, we did 2 weeks of Proverbs, we did 1 week of Ecclesiastes, and this package sort of came with the ending of the Song of Solomon. Because I don't think there's any way I would have voluntarily offered to preach out of Song of Solomon. Okay, all that aside, let's dive in. So the Song of Solomon, it's a love song. So I'm wondering, from your era and from your life, what are some of your favorite love songs? Who are they by? Righteous Brothers, and what song comes to mind?
Unchained Melody.
Yeah, good one. Other loves, Unchained Melody. Yeah. Other love songs you remember. Things you hear at weddings. Yeah. Canadian Sunset. I don't know that one. Who's that by? Okay. Okay. This is why I'm asking you. If you got me, you'd get all the 80s hits, like In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel from Say Anything, where he's holding the boombox, because I'm a child of the 80s. Yeah. Other love songs from your era. Yeah, Mike. Are You Lonesome Tonight? Yeah. What else? Music people. You guys don't have... What? All You Need Is Love. Da, 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 da. Yeah. Music people. Any love songs that come to mind?
Always and Forever.
Always and Forever. Yeah. Yeah. Another one. Oh, Johnny Mathis. Good deal. I didn't hear any Elvis Presley. Love Me Tender. Right? The Drifters, This Magic Moment. Right? Etta James wrote, At Last. Right? At last, my love has come along, my lonely days are over, and life is like a song. Oh yeah, at last. The skies above are blue, my heart wrapped up in clover, the night I looked at you. Remember, near, far, wherever you are, right? Celine Dion did Titanic, and I did say I'm a child of the 80s. The one that always comes to mind for me is Chicago. You're the meaning in my life. You're my inspiration. Do you remember this one, right? I want to have you near me. I want to have you hear me saying, no one needs me more than I need you. These love songs sound a little different when there's not music behind them. Like, they sort of need that groundswell of you know, chorus behind you. And you know, love songs have changed across different eras, and the poetry and the song of one era doesn't necessarily speak love in the same way that the love songs, you know, for which the era that is dear to you really jumps out. But so we have this love song from a different era, from the Bible, the Song of Solomon. Biblically, this one's a little bit weird, because in the entire 8 chapters of Song of Solomon, God is not mentioned. There's no mention of God in this book of the Bible. The book of Esther does that too, but so does this one. There's also not any reference to the people of Israel or covenant or all of this Old Testament language we're used to. Some scholars are kind of surprised that the book Song of Solomon even made it into the Bible, because it doesn't say anything about God. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon preached out of Song of Solomon. And certainly I've never delivered one until now. It also, if you look at the Revised Common Lectionary, a reference out of Song of Solomon in the 3-year cycle appears once. And it's part of what we read today. And honestly, I'm relieved it only comes up once because I don't know if I ever want to preach on a Song of Solomon ever again after today. Because, well, Song of Solomon is rather, it acknowledges the existence of sex. And having grown up in the church, I grew up mostly Methodist and a bit Presbyterian, I tend to feel kind of some awkward about this intersection between anything that has to do with sex and Christian belief. I mean, I don't know how your church background dealt with this, but it's, you know, there's the really strict side, right? There's the no sex before marriage and the rest of it we're never going to talk about, right? No dancing. Right? Because dancing might lead to something. Right? And there's that simplistic advice that I want to give every teenager. Right? Wait for marriage. But life is kind of complicated. Like, how does that work when you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s and not yet married? Does that mean total celibacy? What about divorce? What about knowing if you're compatible and have chemistry with somebody? The other thing I knew growing up Methodist and Presbyterian is that I did have caring pastors who would say, hey, if you ever want to talk about this, I'm approachable. Do you think I ever took them up on it? No! No! Right? And I'm not so sure that any of the young people here would take me up on it if I said, I'm available, right? I mean, and maybe we would have had a more nuanced conversation, but I don't know, because I'm not having that conversation with my pastor. Because talking about sex with your pastor and in a church is awkward. Right? It's private, it's personal, and there's a lot going on. It's controversial, right? And you start talking about sex and attraction, and it stumbles into all kinds of societal structures and expectations around marriage or patriarchy, economics, power. And then it's different in different cultures with different expectation, and some cultures is different across generations, right? How sexuality was looked like in one generation is different than what it looks like today, right? You're just shaking your head, right? And so I struggled with this week, reading Song of Solomon. Now, I was really tempted to take the prudish way out. The prudish way out is to say, this is an allegory between God and God's people. So all of this language about arise and come away with me is God saying, leave your other things and come and be with me. Right? And to say that the longing is God's longing to have our whole hearts. It would be like taking, you know, you're the inspiration and saying, oh, that's really Chicago's song to God. God, you're the meaning in my life. You're my inspiration. But the thing is, the longer I read this, that just seems like too much of a stretch to say that this is like a love song between us and God, and God is of. Sorry, by reading it, it's just about love. There's body comparisons of a beautiful woman whose eyes are like doves and lips are like crimson threads and hair like a flock of sheep. And chapter 5 gets pretty steamy, I have to say. And so it is certainly nothing I would be reading at church or at youth group. It is darn inappropriate. So what is this stuff doing in the Bible? What is your pastor even doing preaching about it on a Sunday morning? And what is it about this ancient, poetic love song that means anything for our lives in 2019? Because it's about sex. Well, let's have an honest word about this. Nobody in this room would be here unless somebody did it. I Okay? It's part of being human and how more humans come into the world. And across different cultures and across different ages and generations, we get this love song because it's in our bodies. There's this desire, right? Who's that song? Desire. Who is that? I don't know. Anyway, right? I mean, there's this desire. And one thing I've noticed in our series on wisdom is that this wisdom literature series of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and now Song of Solomon, these are not parts of the Bible that carry lofty ideals. It's about real life. Real life lived out on earth with all of its messiness and complications. And the real life here on earth does indeed include having a body, right? A body that likes to be touched sometimes, that has skin and muscle and feelings. And so Song of Solomon acknowledges that we indeed are human. Human beings with a body. And so Renita Weems, in her commentary in the New Interpreter's Bible, helped me out this week, and she wrote this about the book of Song of Solomon. What if this book was written to valorize the integrity of the human body and the mutual blessedness of human sexuality as gifts from God? Why would that not be sufficient? In other words, if the whole point of including the Song of Solomon in the Bible is that it's okay to acknowledge that we are human and we have bodies and we have sex. Because this book speaks really differently about the body and desire than other parts in the Bible. The New Testament part that Constance read has what I tend to think of as the more stereotypical church talk about sexuality. Ooh, right? Be careful about licentiousness. Be careful about the works of the flesh. And there's this huge duality set up between anything that is fleshly and body is evil, and then everything that is spirit is good. But the Song of Solomon, coming from a different part of the Bible, adds complexity to that story, that there might be ways that there are gifts of the flesh, not that we always have to push it away or not talk about it. It's also worth pointing out that in the Song of Solomon, there's an image of mutuality. My beloved is mine and I am his. That there is a love here that is not about power over or manipulation, but it's about falling in love, being in love and having that love reciprocated. There's also a celebration of a woman's body. In fact, a dark woman's body, as well as a man's body and his agility and gracefulness like a gazelle. The old midrash about wisdom literature says that Solomon wrote these books. The language doesn't really match that Solomon could have written all of these, but the old midrash is that Solomon wrote the Song of Songs in his youth with all the passion. That he wrote Proverbs in the prime of his life when he was a father. And he wrote Ecclesiastes when he was in his old age. It makes sense because there's that youthfulness and passionate love throughout Song of Solomon. You can hear it most clearly in those verses from chapter 8. Love is as strong as death. Passion as fierce as the grave. Many waters cannot drench love, neither can floods drown it. So, what am I telling you to go home and do today? So for me, preaching to myself again, delving into Song of Songs has been a challenge to reconnect with Not just pushing the flesh and the conversations of the flesh into the bad category. And to recognize that there is a gift and a celebration about that passionate love. I'm celebrating 20 years of marriage this summer, which is delightful and fun. And I know some of you have anniversaries way longer than that. But now, I think as I get older and I look at young love, there's a little bit of disdain that comes with it. Like, oh, that's kind of cute. Like, that's puppy love. But maybe I have been, the Song of Solomon reminds me, maybe I've been too dismissive about that passionate young love. It's been fun to remember those times that I was willing to drive 2 hours to go to San Francisco just to go on a two-hour date. And so, you know, or to remember, right, that my first kiss was with a boy I met at church, right? And so to not be so judgmental when I hear that a friend of a friend got her first kiss at Westminster Woods this summer, but to not just push it aside, to not just push it aside and go, oh my gosh, that's evil, because it can't be all evil. It's not all evil, right? But sometimes the message I think that permeates through the church is that it is all evil. And so talking about Song of Solomon today and talking about our favorite love songs, which Diane's going to start figuring out how to get on the screen here, is to celebrate it, to smile about it, to enjoy it when we might see it or feel it. And I thought that the best way to do this is not through words, but to go back to song itself and letting this song, all these secular love songs, be a reminder of our humanness, our desire for love and belonging, and to recognize just possibly, because we're in church, that God might be in the midst of this as well. Okay, let's see if I talk. That goes away. Thank you. So Song of Solomon, a love song, and part of our holy scriptures, believe it or not. Amen? Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.